I'd say good morning to everyone. We're very thankful this morning to God. Amen. We had a storm last night, and certainly God let us see the power of God and we endured the storm. May God bless you. Hope everyone is safe and sound and avoiding also this dreadful disease that we're going through in the world, this pandemic. A lot of people getting infected with the new variant, and hopefully all of you are safe and recovering well if you were exposed to that disease. We are thankful to God to have each and every person on, especially those who may not be members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored guests, and we thank you for being with us on this morning. And we pray you will be blessed from your visit with us and listening carefully to the things I will talk about from the Word of God, the Bible, especially as it pertains to the saving of your soul. For we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right, that Jesus died on that cross. And when he died there, he was dying to save your soul. He shed his blood that will wash your sins away according to the Bible. In Revelation 1:5, that blood will wash your sins away. The baptism is for the remission of sins and the forgiveness of sins. When you're baptized, then all everything you ever done will be forgiven. Then the Lord will add you to the only church in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. And then the brothers and sisters across the nation will join us. We thank you for being with us, and we pray you be blessed from the lesson this morning. We're in the book of Hebrews, continuing our study there in chapter number 12 now. And this morning lesson is entitled, If You Endure Chastening. If You Endure Chastening. And the Bible says, go back to verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the Father, the right hand of the throne of God. Now, the key word there in that verse is endure, that we're going to be talking about this morning as well. He endured the cross. Then he says, the Hebrew writer says in verse 3, for consider him that endured. Again, he told us to reconsider Jesus, endured the pain of the cross. He endured such contradiction of sinners against him. People who didn't like him, did they dealt with that. And lest you be weary and faint in your mind. So the whole emphasis here is that the endurance, meaning God going through your pains and trials of life without giving up fame, as if you have no hope. And so we don't want to be wearied and fainting. Jesus didn't do that. And he said it happens in your mind. It's the way you think about it, what you're going through right now. And maybe you're on the call this morning, and you're going through some things, and those things are painful. It's not necessarily a physical pain, but it could be. But it's a mental, emotional pain, the pain of the trials of life, you know, going through difficulties in your life, in your marriages, in your relationships, in your physical health, taking care of loved ones who are sick and you're watching them die, or you know that what you're facing in your financial situation is desperate and you seem like you're at the rock bottom, you're going through it. And that, all those things are painful. Painful to go to a funeral and see the last time the face of the one you love. Those are painful events. To know someone who don't like you or someone who despise you, contradicts you, contradiction of sinners in Jesus' case. They spit on him, they mocked him, they talked about him. That's mental pain. Spit don't hurt. But to know that someone would hate me that much. And to know somebody in your life possibly now that you know that hates you that much. It's painful. It's painful. But what the lesson today, I'm going to try to keep it positive. It can be presented negatively. But I'm going to try to present it in a positive way. Because if we all live in this life and don't expect to have painful experiences, then you're going to be a miserable person in this life. You will give up. You will faint. That's why some people take their lives. Some people leave the Lord, and they just give up on God. They give up on the church. They give up on hope. They don't think this life has nothing to offer them. And that's the person I'm talking to this morning. Hopefully in an encouraging way at the end of the lesson, you'll be encouraged to know that this is all God's plan. So one of the most difficult scriptures is where the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love God. How can something that hurts so bad be to my good? That's the question that most people would ask. How can that? It hurts. It's hurt. I'm crying, Brother Brooks. How can that be to my good? Why did Paul say that? What did he mean? How do we apply painful events as something that's good for us? And that's Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. All things work, and possibly we know. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to whose purpose? His. Yeah. All things don't leave nothing out. The most painful experience of your life, the Bible calls good. Wow. As a newcomer, that was one of the most difficult passages for me to understand. How can the losing of someone that was so precious to me, in my case, I was young, but my little brother, which all you know, they know me. But how could that be good? How could losing of my wife be good? Where are you at this morning? Where are you at with your pain? Maybe you've been diagnosed with cancer. Maybe you're suffering through it and you're going through chemotherapy. Or maybe you're on that medication and it makes you sick, but you know that to live, you've got to continue to take it. You got to ask yourself, why am I going through this? These are the things. What about someone who's on dialysis? And, you know, most of their week is spent on a machine cleaning their blood because their kidneys don't work any longer. And that's a mental pain, a stressful situations. And there's a positive message in this morning's lesson. First thing he said, when you start feeling like you're going to quit or give up, you got to think about Jesus who went through this pain, mental painful, physical situations with his death, the most cruelest death being on the cross that a man could ever receive. And then secondly, how others didn't love him. And I'm sure everyone on the call has those situations where you've been through something very painful, but then there were people who just didn't love you. Now, the Hebrew writer is starting that out in chapter 12, verse 3, putting our focus on Jesus so we don't focus on all of our situations by ourselves. He said, you have not resisted, verse 4, unto blood. None of us is shedding blood to the extent Jesus shed blood for the same purpose. And though you're fighting against sin. And he had, verse 5, he said, you have forgotten the exhortation. We speak it unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now, so he puts it in another way of thinking for us as he moved away from Jesus. Y'all didn't go through what Jesus went through. But don't forget that God deals with his children as a father, you know. And don't quit because you're going through something. Don't faint because God is rebuking you. Here's an exhortation or encouragement that we do not forget as children of God, that we are not to despise or take lightly the chastening, or word, another word to use is discipline, from God our Father. As children of God, we're not to faint or give up when we're being rebuked or corrected by God. And I don't know what, I try to list some things, whatever's going on in your life. Maybe you're in a depressed state of mind, and you're asking why. And, you know, Job did the same thing. Think about him. Job started questioning things. He didn't understand it. There's some things in life, brothers and sisters, that we're not going to understand the why God is allowing you to go through what you're going through. Now, I know I'm going to speak to the hearts of someone this morning. Because if you live with the perspective that this is all bad, then you'll be miserable and you'll give up and you'll drop your hands and you'll give in to the pain. That's not what God's want. So whatever's happened in your life, if I didn't mention it, you know what it is that you're feeling it from. Now, in verse 6, he goes into this as he talked to reminding the Hebrew Christians, don't forget who's speaking to you when God's word is being preached. So you do that this morning. It's not Brother Brooks speaking to you, but let the word of God speak to your heart. He said, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So this chastening is this pain or this discipline or that comes with what's going on in your life. It's because God loves you. That's why I'm trying to keep it in a positive tone. And scourge it, every son whom he received. Now, this scourge it here, they scourge Jesus, but that's two different Greek meanings. In Jesus' case, it was a whip with some metal bones and fragments tore the flesh off. It was just a cruel, cruel beating with a whip. And other people did it. But God allowed it. Jesus allowed it. It was for us. He took the beating. Then the scourging that we get in this verse is more of a flogging, like a spanking, if you will. A spanking, and that what they use, what they call a flogging, was taking like sticks and spanking you with them. Like mama whipped me with a whip. She didn't whip me with a whip. Daddy didn't whip me with a whip with bones and fragments on it, but he used a belt. My mama would take that old switch, and I'm sure many of you know it. They plowed them together, and I hate them bushes. I cut them down if I see them. But they take the leaves off of it. And mama would spank us with those. And it would sting our leg. We was jumping, crying, hollering, Dad, whoop us with that old greasy belt of his. I hate that belt. But that was my daddy. And I was his son. That was my mother. And I was her son. And the reason they spanked me, because they loved me. Because I was doing something that would hurt me. And they didn't want me to be hurt. That's why Dad spanked me. And that's somebody this morning. You feel like you're getting a spanking from God, or you're being disciplined. So like you're getting that spanking, that whipping. And sometimes our pain is coming from God because we are not doing right with the right attitude. I wasn't allowed to talk back to my dad. No, no, no. You don't get to talk back to my dad. I wasn't able to talk back to my mother because I was their child. And so when God see us in our lives doing things that would hurt us spiritually, he corrects us. He allows things to happen in our lives. That creates discipline and pain. And it's because of his son. Now, whatever's happening to you is happening because God loves you. And every one of his children, he will discipline. Why? Because he loved his children. And his son died to give you that privilege of being a child of his, a child of God. But will you endure this discipline? Will you leave God? Will you give up on God because you're going through something in this life? There's something that's hard to deal with, hard to understand, hard to cope. Will you despise God and leave him because of him allowing it? If you say, well, I just blame God. I hear many people, I'm angry at God because God allowed my child to die. God did this and God did that. Some things we bring on ourselves. He says, the Hebrew writer says, and this is where I get my title from right here. If ye endure the chastening, God dealing with you as with sons. So what son is he whom the father chastening not? So he put an if condition. If, right, that little word if. If you hold on and realize God is dealing with you because you are his child, then you can go through it. You can let God's will be done. That's why we say, Lord, if it's your will, take this away and do that. Help me to accept the will of God. That's the attitude of a child, respecting the father who allowed me to go through this, who experienced, who knew that when he spanked me, I'm going to cry, it hurt. And often the parents would say, it hurt me more than it hurt you, because they love you. They don't want to have to spank you. But sometimes you got it, because if you didn't make these corrections, you're going to either die young or something's going to happen. That's what happens to a lot of young people today. Their parents don't discipline them. They don't spank them. They spare the rod. That's why I'm against all the modern techniques of discipline. You don't do anything. You let your children talk back to you. You let them talk down to you. And say, yeah, no, not. And you just let them get away. You put them on them TVs and just let them listen to them games and play all them games and all that curse words. And you're watching all this happen, and you let it happen in your house. And you just shut the door and let them play on them games and let that game raise them to talk that way, to shoot, to kill, to disrespect authority. And then when they come talk to you disrespectful, there's nothing but a conversation as if that's your friend and not your child. And that's why many young people today are getting killed by police and others, because they don't respect authority, because they were not taught to respect authority starting at home, where a father would discipline that child growing up. And you don't wait till they get 18 years old to discipline them. You start that at an early age. That's what the Bible is teaching us. Spare not the rod. Spank them. We don't want to hear that today, because we got CPS, Child Protection Service, and all that. You're not abusing that child to spank them, because that's what God said to do. And I'm not going against God's will. My children, I spanked, and they still love me just as much. And I know most of you can say the same thing. But let's keep this in a spiritual perspective from standing morning up. What you're going through, you got to ask yourself, am I going to go through this? Understand that what I'm going through is because God's allowing it, and I'm okay with what God is doing in my life. So he said, now, keep in mind, God deals with you as with sons, but what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, that's without discipline. That's what we see in today, y'all. Whether all are partakers, then you are bastards and not son. That was a bad word when I was growing up, bastard. You call somebody a bastard, but the Bible says it. But this is like a child, what the world calls illegitimate children. This bastard word means a child who was abandoned by their father. A child who was abandoned by the father, and that child never received instructions or discipline from his father. He never governed him or set him in a place where he could understand, that's my father. That's my father. I remember my oldest daughter, which born before Sharon and I got married. She didn't live with me, but when she came 18, she came to live with me for the first time, and I wasn't there for her. I abandoned that child because I was 16 when she was born, and I didn't want to admit it. And my mother looked at the baby and told me, shut up, that's your baby. Which is a man's tale, who my mother would say to me when I denied it. But later on in life, as I went through life and I became a Christian, she came to my home, and I had given her rules. And I raised all my children on rules. There's certain things, it's yes, sir, no, sir, in our house. When I say something, you close your mouth and listen. All my children heard that. When I say get over there and sit down, you get over there and sit down. You don't get to say yeah to me. I say, what you say? Yes, sir. Okay. We don't have to say that no more. It's yes, sir. No, sir. And that should go to your parent, grandparents, too. When your children say, yeah, what? Yeah. Why would you let them talk to you in such a disrespectful way? That's what they're going to do to their teachers. That's what they're going to do to the police. And it's your fault because you didn't treat them as children of yours or grandchildren. When the mother don't, or the father in the house, the biological father don't discipline, then the grandfather ought to step in and do it. That's what I believe. My grandchildren can't come in my house and call and talk to me. They talk to me just like my children was taught. Every one of them do, because they know that's the rule. Why did I do that? Well, my oldest daughter, she came, lived with me, then she didn't want to abide by the rules. So she going to stay out past 12 one night. And when she came home, she went to her room, shut the door. And the next thing she knew, I was about to bust the door down, beating on it. And I went in there, what, did you not understand what I meant? With such a tone I'm speaking as right now. Later, years later, she told me, she said, Dad, she gave me what we call the best dad plaque. She gave me, she said, you remember that night when I first moved in with you? I said, yeah, I remember that. When I stayed out past before, I said, yeah. She said, you remember you busted my door? I remember that. She said, that's the day I knew you was my daddy. That's the day. And I said, this is my dad. This is not somebody who's stepping in. This is my dad. And I got a plaque from her because of that. I'll show y'all my plaque if you want to see it. But this is saying, a child that's illegitimate, it's not the child. I don't even like the term. The child himself is not, every child is legit. But the father, when he abandoned his children, is illegit. Because that's not the kind of father God wants us to be. So there's no such thing as a little illegitimate child. This term, not used, put down the child, but the treatment of the child is treated as they're not legit. So the Hebrew writer is saying to us, and bang it back to the spiritual now, as Christians, discipline from God proved to us that's our father. And I have not abandoned you. I'm right here with you. Somebody said, Grubberg, this is why I don't want to be God's child, because I don't want to go through that kind of discipline, my God. Listen to the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15. Peter said this, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody of other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. See, we're going to suffer whether we're Christians or not. The worldly people are going through pain, in physical pain, and in mental pain, and anguish, and challenges in life. They're going through trials and tribulations. They're not God's children. But if you're going to suffer, I don't know about you, but I'd rather suffer as a Christian. I'd rather choose to suffer as a Christian. That's why you should be a Christian this morning if you're not one. Peter said, if you're going to suffer, then suffer as a Christian. And then they ain't nothing to be ashamed of. And you'll glorify God on this behalf. Furthermore, verse 9, go back to Hebrews 12, 9. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh. As the daddies I was talking about, my dad and me being a father. You are a father. It's a good thing for the fathers that are listening today to remember. God specifically talked about the priority of discipline in the home should come from the father. He said, the father of our flesh, which corrected us. And what father on this call has not corrected your children and leave it to the wife? Well, I know one thing. When my mama would say this, and I know my sisters and them are listening too, and everyone in my family, all seven of us can tell you the same thing. She said, okay, I'm going to tell your daddy. And I guarantee you, we understood then that she going to the main source of discipline, and I don't want to deal with that dude. Because father has such a level of respect, we gave him reverence. And that's what the Hebrew writer said. Furthermore, we have the father of our flesh would correct us, and we gave them reverence. We give him respect. And what God is saying, do you respect me? He said, shall not we much more rather be in subjection to the father of spirits? Oh, my God, and live. Now, why is he making this comparison to a father? See, a father who would just let his boys do whatever they want to do and don't discipline, let a child come back and talk to their mama like they want to, I lose a whole lot of respect for you, just personally. Because I wasn't raised that way. I just can't. And it irritates me when I'm around someone and they letting their children or their grandchildren get away with talking to them any kind of way. I'd be wanting, man, why don't you stop it? Don't you let them get away with that? And, well, because I understand what earthly fatherhood was about, because that's what I gave them. Now, if we can understand that, we ought to be able to understand how God, our Father in heaven, is disciplining us, and we can submit to, and respect him for allowing me to go through what I'm going through. Think about Job again, man. Joe went through a whole lot of stuff, you know, without recap. I'm thinking about doing the book of Job again. Anybody, I've done that one time, Holly, but it seems like me, you know, I was talking to a young man yesterday, it's just like with the way the world is now, God is putting something on this world. We're going through unprecedented times. We're doing things that we've never done before. It's sweeping across the world. And God's hand is in it. And he's sending us all a message. He sent some of us to the house to think about ourselves. And I know we complain about not being at the building and all those things. I know, but all things work together good. There may be a complaint of legitimacy when it stands for a relationship. I understand that. I'm not against assembly. I think that's all God's plan. But this is in God's plan, too. You can't accept that. Some things God allowed. God could have stopped all this stuff. But some of us would be no better if we didn't go through this. Some of us are closer to God. Brother Stroud and I talked about how much more studying we've done. Even our preaching styles have changed to teaching styles where people get more out of what we're doing, teaching. Our personal studies have enhanced us for the last year. It's like 2 years we've been in school again, learning, studying harder, preparing our lessons. God set us down. How many of you are praying more now? How many of you are doing more things to keep your life together? How many of you had to focus on yourself being at that house, can't get out, and now you realize the benefits, the beauty of the church, the benefit of brotherhood, the benefit of having a brother, sister, a family of God, if we take those things for granted, if God didn't give us those these experiences for the last year or so, which means not long time for God, because years to God is one day is 1,000 years. So this is a little period of time we've been away from each other. Do it make you want to see me? Does it make you want to be closer to each other? What if we hadn't gone through this Hollow Heights? I know now how I felt how much important it is that to be at the door and have a hug. To be there when I lose loved one and my family is rallying around me. And they're there for me when I'm going through it. And those things we took for granted. But that's discipline. That's correction God is doing in our life. Some people are going to be back at worship that wasn't even coming to worship. But God put this pain in their life and they start coming to him, fearing death, fearing the disease, getting on the conference calls now. Now they're in the habit of hearing the word of God every Sunday. And they're not going to be at peace with God, as I will see later, as we will see later in this lesson, by staying at home in the future as you did in the past. If you to continue to stay at home, if you to continue not hear the word of God, you will lose your soul. Can y'all see what God is doing? And then we hear Christians complaining, and murmuring, and all the negativity. Versus, saying, what is God trying to tell me? Am I better because of it? Well, how do you think about it that way? Well, that's the purpose of God's studying this book. It's the purpose of studying lessons like this, to change our view on things. Because you can become so negative, you can't see nothing good. You know, I don't know about you, but it's hard to be around somebody like that all the time. I mean, do you have nothing good to say? Is everything a complaint? So God is saying, look here. I'm your father, and what I'm going to do for you is going to help you prevent spiritual death or to avoid losing your soul. If I let you keep doing what you're doing without intervention, that's what's going to happen to you. But you're my child. I don't want that to happen. But I'm going to give you the choice. But listen to Hebrew writer, verse 10. He said, for they verily for a few days chasing us after their own pleasure, talking about fathers of the world, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness too. So my daddy and your daddy, that were those kind of fathers that we talked about, that really took on the lead role of discipline, it pleased them sometimes because they knew they was doing what was best. What I tell you about crossing that road without looking? Because I don't want you to get killed. And that's what happened. We would be down here where I was growing. You could cross the road. If you could have a car coming. And they would always, if we didn't stop and look both ways, we would be disciplined. Why? Because you'll get run over. You'll get killed. Now, the Hebrew writer says, now, no chastening for the present seem it to be joys. You know, who enjoy pain? You know what? But grievous. It's hard. It's hard to deal with. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which were exercised thereby. And you may be on a call this morning, and your situation is grievous. It's a situation where grieving is not fun. It's not something I'm enjoying. It's not something that's pleasurable when you're going through it. It don't supposed to be. It's not designed to be. It's not designed to be joyous. This was not designed to be joyous. It shouldn't be the child enjoy being spanked. They don't. Matter of fact, and I keep using myself, but I will, because you can do your own, and when you have an opportunity to tell somebody, says, I got the opportunity. But I would see my dad, a mom, with my brothers and sisters, and they would be crying, and I'd be sitting over there, too, and they whip, whip, and they say, and you over there, and they say, shut up. Stop your crying. I said, how a person going to stop crying when you just whipped me? And I'll be saying, oh, Lord, he's going to get me next. I'm over there also giving respect because I saw him discipline my brother and sister. And it's, and you look back on it, and it was grievous. It was hard. And I had to understand it. Looking back, I can understand it. Because that's afterward. See, now that I'm grown, now that I raised my own children, at the point I started having children myself, I understood afterwards, hey, you know what? My dad, he was a good man. When he whipped me, I thought he was bad. He hated me. That wasn't what was going on. So I have a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Because that was the right thing to do. So when you're going through something, and I know somebody here, you need this because you are about to break down. You're about to give up. You're at the verge of not understanding. You're confused. You don't understand why me. And I know that's what happens in the lives of Christians. What could I have done different? What should I have did? This and all the questioning, the things that you regret or your conscience bother you over while you went through these things. But you ain't leave God, see. This is the point. I never left the house where mom and dad was, even though I had to be. It wasn't fun being disciplined, but I didn't walk away. I stayed in the house. And now I know that it was to my good. See, when you know what God is doing is allowing you to go through this because he wants you to be okay, then you don't leave. You stay in the house. You stay at home with the one that loves you. You don't go out to the streets. The people who don't love you. Then the Hebrew writer says in verse 12, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and feeble, the feeble knees, you know. And what he's talking about here, this is kind of like, you know, they drop their hands, and I just don't want to, I ain't going to be able to handle what I'm going through right now. I just throw my hands in there. I just drop my feeble knees because God had brought a loud discipline to come your way. Your hands are of no use to him. You've given up. So when you drop your hands, you're not serving anymore. You're not praising anymore. You're not praying anymore. You're not doing anything for the cause of Christ anymore. Because you in your self-pity, thinking that you don't deserve what you're going through. And maybe if you think back, what was I before the pain came? Was I faithful? Was I studying then? Was I praying then? Was I seeking answers from God then? Or am I doing more now than I ever done because of the pain? Am I closer to God, feeling more need of God? I'm not feeble in my knees because God is there. When you're feeble in your knees are weak, and no use to God. You can't walk for him. You can't do for him. Your hands are no good to him. Your knees are no good. You're trembling. You're giving up. You're leaving God. And he's saying, hold on. The Hebrew writer saying, lift up hands. Hold on. Go back to serving God. And make, verse 3, here's the message from God. Look at verse 13. I'll try to hasten to a close. He said, and make straight paths for your feet. lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. See, yes, you may be down or lame from your discipline, and you're feeling it. You're feeling the discipline God is putting in you. You're feeling the pain of the events that are going on in your life. So what do you do? Here's God saying, make straight paths. He's not waiting. Well, you got to straighten up. You got to walk straight. That means simply changing your view of this road you're on, this journey you're on, and taking all these crooked moves, going in and out of traffic, dealing with what you got to go straight with God in your car with you. You got to drive straight. And that requires being able to open up and see yourself. It requires repentance and confession. Confessing your fault. Understanding that this is some things I need to make changes on. These are things because I needed to do, but now that God has got my attention, I'm doing them. So I want to say this too. It is not always the case that when we are going through troublesome trials or tribulations because we've done something wrong. That's not the case. See, we'll find out with all the apostles and all the men who were with Jesus, and even Jesus himself, many of them suffered. Many of the Christians in the first century suffered, not because they'd done anything sinful. See, but you know, gold got to go through fire in order to see its purity, and some things we have to go through in order to get the best out of us. It's not that we've done something wrong. So I don't want you leaving the car like, man, God took my wife or took my sister because I was living a world of sin, or he did this because I was doing wrong. That's not what we're talking about. If that's the case, all of us have sinned and fallen short. We should have been getting whippings every day of our life. But know this, that James said, blessed is the man, James 1:12, that endured temptation. This temptation here is that trial I'm talking about, that test. But when he is tried, James said, he shall receive the crown of life. See, the whole idea of God disciplining us and letting us go through things, whether some because he does things right, wrong, some because that's just what he wants us to do to help us grow spiritually. James said, the Lord had promised to them that love him. It's a promise. Y'all know this? It's a promise from God that we will go through temptations and trials. But James said, every man is tempted. When he's unaware of his own lust, and that's temptation as described earlier. But you're looking at this. Why am I going through such a difficult time right now? Is it because I need to correct some things in my life, possibly? Is it because God wants me to be better than I've ever been? Yes. Is God sending me through the fire so I can come out better? Yeah. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's all about the end result. It's all about the end result. Trials would put our faith and patience to test. See, when we're going through trials, it's one way God teaches us patience. the trial of your faith, the persecutions, the things that you're going through is kind of like gold before you can see the pure beauty of the gold. It had to go through the fire to burn out impurities. And some of us got to go through that. But all of us will. It's a promise. It's going to make us better. Because God wants us to make heaven our home. That's why he does it. So, there's something else in verse number 14 that has me, this is the last verse I use in chapter 12, I'll pick up this afternoon, but how many are not at peace with God? In most cases, it's because of sin. So the Hebrew writer tells them, after talking about discipline and the Father loving them and why you're going through the things you're going through, he said, what you do then? Follow peace with all men. See, if you have a high expectation of Brother Brooks that above being a man, then you go, I'm a failure miserably. But and you follow peace by being knowing that everybody in your every man, woman, boy, girl, are human beings. And we ought to stay at peace with them. You know, you can easily get mad or upset at someone because they didn't do what you thought they should have done. They didn't do what you expected them to do. Or they didn't respond the way you thought they should have responded. You can't be at peace with them. Because what's going to happen is you're going to be upset at them. That's why people can't love their enemy. Because they're not at peace with them. Is that you? Is somebody you can't stand? You can't. Well, that person did what? I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to do it. You're not at peace with them. And I want you to listen to this verse. It's very powerful. And this verse is scary. Verse 12, and I often talk about this verse here. There's nobody that we can't be at peace with. And number two, holiness. Holiness. And without peace, there will be no holiness. Holiness means living in a way that my Father is pleased with my response. That don't mean you got this halo over your head and you're living a sin-free life. That's not what we're talking about here. But responding, when people need you as a brother, sister in Christ, and they need you, the Bible tells us if a man is overtaken in fault, ye who are spiritual ought to restore. When people need us, we ought to respond in love. So that person said, well, you know, I reached out to you and you didn't answer your phone or you didn't have nothing to do with me or you didn't reply to my text message or you didn't call me back. Or you. How you going to be? You upset at that person. You can't be at peace with them because your expectation of them was above of them being more than a man. And then if you're the person who's doing that to other people and you're not displaying holiness, if somebody reach out to you for help and you don't reply to them, respond and try to help in some way, form, or fashion. And some way, sometimes helping is just listening. Sometimes help is just, I'm here for you. You got to give them some advice about stick with God, always giving spiritual advice. So we are to try to help one another. I try to do that. If I miss a phone call, I try to call them back. If I fail to respond, I say, I'm sorry. Because I don't want anyone to think I don't care about them. But that's holiness. Being accountable. I don't care if it's your children or your grandchildren or your family members or members of the church or enemies in the world. Our response should be holy. And do everything we can because God want them to be saved as much as he wants you to be saved. But the Hebrew writer says this, without peace, follow peace with not just some picking and choosing, but all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Do you know somebody right now that needs your help and you have not reached out to help them? You have a responsibility to that person to be at peace with them and holiness. Now, you can't make people do nothing. I'll say, well, brother, I ask forgiveness. I know. Sometimes you got to ask for forgiveness. How many times? 70 times? 7 if you need to. Just keep on. I mean, it's okay to keep asking. But it's not up to you to make them forgive you. Can't nobody forgive you until they decide to forgive. God don't expect us to make other. He expects us to have the door open. But you can't force them to walk in. But you got to keep the door open to be a holy person. But the Hebrew writer said, you can't do these two things. No man that can't handle peace and holiness will see the Lord. That's what your book says. Now go back and read it a few times for yourself. But we are under grace and mercy. And no, we're not to continue in sin. So I'm not talking about holiness in the sense that you're holiness because you fall. I'm talking about people who continue in sin. You need grace. We need grace. We need grace this morning. We need grace, you all. And that grace has come through Jesus Christ, who endured the cross, for the joy of the cross. It was set before him to endure. That's what the Hebrew writer said. Now remember him that endured. He endured the cross. That's back to the chapter. He started his whole conversation reminding us the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. The joy wasn't in the pain he was suffering. The joy wasn't in the nails and the joy wasn't in that. No, that's not where the joy was at. It was the outcome. What it was going to do for us. That Jesus went to the cross because he would go through this pain. It was set before him to stay there on that cross. And if he had not endured and stayed through the pain and despised the shame, we would not have a hope for eternal life. That's why he endured. That's the joy that was set before him. That's what Paul was talking about in Philippians chapter 2. When he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Verse 5, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Took up on him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Notice this says, even the death of the cross. And here's why. God highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Why? Because he was his father. And he done his father's will. Would you want your name to be in heaven? Do you want to be one of those who endure? Or can you be that? We all can be that, you all. You want to sit down and hear my story? You want to sit down and talk about the things I've been through? How many of us got a story that we can write? A book that we can write? What chapter are you in? Are you in a chapter where you need to reflect on the other chapters of life? And say, you know what? I'm in a good place. I'm still alive. I still got hope. I'm still hearing the word of God. I'm still receiving it. I haven't left the church. And I thank God for his grace and his mercy. If you're on the call this morning, you're not a Christian. You need to come to Jesus. You come to him this morning by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 to 16, here's the plan of salvation. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You need to hear how Jesus suffered for you, and that's the gospel. The good news that God loved you, the good news that his son would go through this whole painful experience of being whipped and mocked and spit upon and despised of sinners. And then nails in his hands and hang 6 long hours on the cross. And Jesus said, tell him that. That's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. He that believeth, Jesus said, and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said, you got to believe he died. You got to believe he shed the blood and washed your sins away in baptism. If you're on the call this morning and you're in that position, you're going through some things, Jesus is calling you this morning. Come unto me. It's 2022. Won't you come to me? Come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden. Now, I'll give you rest. Jesus is calling this morning. He's calling. His grace, his mercy is calling you. Be willing to repent of your sins and say, I don't want to walk this crooked path. I'm going to straighten up my path. God, you've allowed me to go through some things. I'm disappointed in the way things have gone in my life. I'm ready to make change. And Jesus is calling you. He's calling you. And the Father wants you to come. But you got to be willing to confess his Son and the Son of God before me and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. After that, you got to be baptized. It's commanded. That's why you got to do it. It's your Father told you. Like your Father told you, go sit down. You go sit down. Jesus said, he that believe and baptized shall be saved. God gave the word. So God is saying, you go get baptized. That's what he's saying. And I'm your Father. And I call you my child only after you've been born of the water and of the Spirit. So you got to be born again, John chapter 3. Born again means you're born of your mom's flesh the first time from your mother's womb. The second time, you're born as a child of God when you're born of the water of the grave of baptism. You rise up, you break the water. That's what you did from your mother's womb. You broke water. When you come up out of baptism, you break water. And then you live that life as God's child. What a wonderful thing it is to be God's child, to have a Father that loves us. And he says, if you endure chastening, it's because I loved you and you didn't give up on me. God is treating you as a father, protecting your spiritual life or spiritual death. The members of the church, all of us are going through these things. I know. There's nobody on the phone called me that I left out today, some kind of way, form, or fashion. You got hit with the pains of life. But why don't you understand it's your grace, God's grace and mercy, the reason you're still here today and you have this chance now to make your noble confession. Make the noble confession. Make the noble confession. Those who are members, make your confession that you've sinned and fallen short. Ask God to forgive you. Or restore. Come back to him. Put your hands back to work. Straighten up your knees. Straighten up your hands. Start them back to serving God. Come back home. Come to the Lord. You can do that. We're getting ready to sing the song, Grace and Mercy. Your Grace and Mercy. Brother Allen is going to sing that song. And what I want you to do, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, and you're one of those who are going through some very painful experience, God wants you to be his child. Won't you do it this morning? Won't you do it this morning by coming to do an invitation? Hit 5-star on your phone. Or if you're a member of the church, and God has sent you through something, you came through it, and you just say, you know, I went through something, but I'm so thankful, I'm stronger because of it, then you ought to thank God for that. You'll help others by getting on the call and saying, I just want to thank God for bringing me through the painful event I went through. But now I look back on it, it was to my good. Or maybe you're in that one right now. You're in a situation that you know, I need to refocus my life. Maybe you want to make a confession. Maybe you want to ask for prayer. Maybe you want to say thank you, Lord. Well, whatever it is, okay, just hit 5-star on your phone, and we'll sing the song of encouragement this time.